Breakfast with Pat and Heels for Imar Insurance. Get an online quote and instant cover anywhere, anytime. Visit imar.com.au.
What's he got in store? Head on 97. Woke puts it up there. He on drives. He beats Midon. And the first century of the series belongs to Travis Head. He did it in his own style. A rollicking affair. He has an Ashes 100 to his name. He kisses the crest and shouts with glee. His teammates on their feet. Bat raised around the Gabba. Sweat pours down off his head. He's put a gap in the game. And it was an eventful affair, a rapid century in just 85 balls.
Really emotional celebration too from Trav, and obviously means so much to him. Beautifully hit to mid on, but conjecture about his spot. He's got it now, and it's his to lose.
Yes, another day, another highlight. Welcome to the program, Mark Braybrook for Patton Heels, who are enjoying your break, and they'll be back on January 10. Travis Head would have had a good night's sleep last night after that century, which has put Australia in a commanding position after day two of the first test at the Gabba. 7 for 343 in reply to England's 147. It was a rollicking day of test cricket. It had pretty much everything, starting with that no ball controversy with Ben Stokes. And I say controversy only because the technical equipment that allows the third umpire to watch the no ball and tell the umpires in their ear has been broken. So the umpires are back to calling the no balls, and they didn't call the first three or something of Ben Stokes and got the one on the wicket. England's blowing up the lux because they say that a bowler needs to know where his feet are, and if he would have been no balled the first two, he would have adjusted. Well, mate, it's not hard to get your foot behind the line. It doesn't matter. The Australia didn't bowl any no balls. And as a professional cricketer, as a test match cricketer, I mean, get your foot behind the line. It's not that hard. And it's not the umpire's fault or the umpire's. Don't get me wrong. The umpire should have been calling no balls because their runs Australia miss out on as well. But don't go over the front line. Anyway, that was just one of a multitude of sins for England on day two. But there was some cracking cricket played. David Warner's innings with Manus Labuschagne in really difficult conditions, I thought, was just gripping test match cricket. You just didn't know whether a wicket was going to fall on the next ball or whether it was going to be a boundary or runs. It was enthralling to watch in conditions that if they were day one conditions, England's decision to bat may well have been justified. But they battled hard and then lost those quick wickets. And then that century from Travis Head was outstanding. You may have a thought on the day's play today. The Brighton Homes open line, 13-13-55. Brighton Homes includes aircon, flooring, steel frames and solar as standard. Discover today why it's better with Brighton. And the Love Family Law text line. Thanks to Love Family Lawyers, love is all you need. 0467 736 736. Now, firstly, the weather for day three at the Gabba. When I woke this morning about 3:30, there was steady rain falling on the roof at home, and driving to work, still a little bit of rain around. But then I checked the forecast, and now looking outside, mostly sunny today, a top of 31 degrees. They're saying slight chance of a shower in the morning. I reckon that's gone. I reckon that was really early this morning. So mostly sunny, 31. It'll be nice and steamy at the Gabba. There'll be a bit of swing around still, and England will be batting sometime today. Is there a chance the test match could be over today? Time will tell. Tomorrow, sunny and 30, and Sunday, a possible shower, less than a mil, they're saying, 40% chance. There is the chance of a thunderstorm in the west, a top of 29. So that's the forecast for Brisbane, for the Gabba, for the next 3 days. It doesn't look like on that the weather will be able to save England at this stage. 2 days down, and surely it's going to require some sort of a miracle from England to save this test match. The highs yesterday for me, Travis Head's century was outstanding. As I mentioned, Marnus's batting and also the batting from David Warner was terrific. The lows, and there were a few lows yesterday. I think Marcus Harris, I mean, he'll play in the second test because they said they'll pick that first, you know, the first two tests you've got. He did not look comfortable, and a nothing sort of shot to get out for three. The injury to Ben Stokes is of concern, and it sort of highlights the problems that we've been having with no cricket for these players. I mean, Ben Stokes hasn't played with July, and then lockdown and the weather and all that sort of stuff. And we saw Ollie Robinson struggling, leaving the field because he was cramping up a bit, and it was really tough conditions when that's your first proper hit out and you're having a proper hit out in a test match. No real warm-up matches for either side. And England seems to be suffering the most. So that injury to Stokes, that knee injury, I think is a little bit more serious than they're making out. He's staying on the field so that he can bat at five and come out and not have to wait any lower when the game may well have been lost for England for sure by then. So his injury, the no ball, certainly, which would have got David Warner out, may well have changed the complex of the game. The whole complexion of the game may have changed if Warner had have been been given out and it wasn't a no ball. That may have been the big moment of the test match outside the toss if England go on to lose this. And one thing, the overrates. I was watching that yesterday and thinking, are you blokes going to... I know it was tough conditions, but we had an extra hour of play yesterday because of the rain and the amount of cricket we lost on day one. And they still did not bowl 90 overs. 90 overs. There was supposed to be 98 overs bowled yesterday, and we didn't even get to 90. It was extraordinarily slow. You could see Joe Root was running through his overs because he knows, as captain, he's the one that's going to get fined and potentially could miss a test match because of the slow over rates. I know there was issues, Travis Head being hit in the head, and he got hit on the forearm, and there was other little bits and pieces. But we were about 13 overs shy of what should have been bowled. Now, I know it was a gripping day's test cricket, but we should have had another 13 overs of gripping test cricket as well. Australia may well have declared last night and could have, you know, had England two down at stumps, potentially. Or they could have continued batting, which is what I would have done, because they are out on their feet, England. So you're not only thinking about this test match, you're trying to get them really ground down. After 2 days of this Ashes series, they walked off that field, those bowlers, looking spent. And they've had 1 day in the field of a five test Ashes series. But the slow over rates are one of the biggest problems cricket has at the moment. And yesterday was a dawdling pace. I know they had to chase the ball into the crowd a lot when Jack Leach was bowling. I understand that wasted a bit of time because every second ball was hit into the crowd. I'm being facetious there, of course. But I don't know what you think about these slow over rates. 13 1355 is that Brighton Homes open line, or the Love Family Lawyers text line 0467 736 736. That was awful yesterday. To be 13 overs shy of what they're supposed to have bowled, having an extra hour's play, and even 90 overs in a day you're supposed to bowl, and they didn't even get to that with an extra hour of play. They started at 9:30, finished at 5:30, and still couldn't get to 90 overs. Is there any other sport or anywhere else in the world where, apart from driving on the Logan motorway when they reduce the speeds and still charge you the same amount of money, is there anywhere else in the world where you, as a paying member of the public, put your hand in your pocket, pay your money for your ticket, and don't get what you're supposed to get in that respect? I just think the over rates are appalling and something needs to be done about it. But you may have a thought. 0467 736 736, the text, or 13 13 55. Travis Head, what an innings it was yesterday. Here are his thoughts on that magnificent century.
Yeah, it was just about being as clear as I possibly could. They started extremely well. The couple of sets there that Ollie Robinson bowled were quite difficult, and I felt the wicket was a little bit there. They got a little bit of run. It's about staying nice and calm. It was nice to have Alex at the other end, battle a lot with him. So calm, consistent plans, really relaxed, and just felt like trying to take a bit of momentum out of the game. And if the ball was presented to score, try and score, really. The guys that have played positively throughout the game have to be played at the best, I think. There's been quite a bit there for the bowlers throughout the game. So it was just trying to gain a bit of momentum back, and then once we gained that, trying to take advantage of it.
It's a good cricket wicket, isn't it? When a player can score a century in less than 100 balls, when Marnus gets 70, David Warner gets 90-odd, bowlers are taking fifers like Pat Cummins, Robinson was on a hat-trick, and there is still something in the wicket for the bowlers. Make no mistake, even though Australia is 7 for 343, there is still something on offer for the bowlers if they put it in the right spot. England at times a little bit too short yesterday, but this is a terrific test wicket where batsmen can get runs and bowlers are in the game, feel as though they're in the game every ball, and it just adds to a terrific game of cricket. It's not a road. We're seeing a real battle between bat and ball, and that's what Test cricket's all about. Here's what Travis Head had to say about the opportunity he was given. Of course, it was a toss-up between him. It really was a toss-up between him and Usman Khawaja as to who would get that number five batting spot. Travis Head got it, and he's taken that opportunity with both hands.
Yeah, it's still pinching myself sort of thing. Like, I can't quite work out what quite transpired over the last couple of hours, but I want to contribute to Australia and Australia wins, and hopefully we'll put ourselves in a nice position. Tomorrow morning's important again to continue another great day for Australia, and that's what I'm here to do. I was really relaxed throughout the game. Paddy, coaching staff, have been fantastic in the way they've handled the last sort of 6 and 7 days and how they wanted to see me play or go about it. They just wanted to be myself and play the game and play how I see it, and have got great confidence in that. And I was really relaxed over the last 2 days. I've said that going into camp, it's so enjoyable to be around this group again and contribute in some little way. And today it went my way, but a lot of work was done by the top order. I thought they batted exceptionally well.
They did, to put him in that position. A couple of quick wickets. Green's dismissal disappointing, but Travis Head was outstanding. He also spoke about getting a start, a positive start, and turning that positive start, that half century, into a century, and how important it was to go on with it.
I guess a lot's been spoken about. I felt like that a little bit, where I've got a couple of scores quite quickly, and then I missed out a couple of times. So I think my technique and my composure at the crease, and I was really relaxed today. I'm just trying to take that moment in. Now, yeah, I got opportunities to present myself to score, and I was able to take them today and put pressure back on bowlers at certain periods. But I felt like at moments they bowled really well, and I took some chances as well along the way. Definitely the back end of into the new ball, but I feel like I gave myself a great opportunity. I felt like my technique's in a really great space. Technically, mentally, I feel like really composed, really relaxed in the environment. It's a huge environment. They come extremely hard today. So to be able to be in that moment is a great feeling. I'm not always guaranteed runs. I know that. And that was the same today. I found the first 20 runs really, really tough. The game opened up a little bit. I was able to take my opportunity. That's not going to happen all the time, but I put myself in that position, which is pleasing.
Yeah, he did, and he made the most of it, and there's still runs for him this morning. I bet you when they wake up and pull back the curtains, the Pommies will be a bit disappointed that forecast of rain today or showers and a storm, which was there yesterday, ain't appearing. The sun is out, and it's going to be a full day of cricket at the Gabba. And if I'm the Aussies, I don't declare. There's 3 days left of this Test match. England on the ropes with their bowlers. Stokes, that knee injury. Robinson struggled with cramping at the end of the day. Mark Wood just looked exhausted, as you can imagine. Jack Leach is under pressure. Already, day two, they're rattling the cage, the Aussies are the Englishmen. And this morning's opening session, if the Australians can continue to pile that pressure and keep England out in the field, could have an impact in the remaining Test matches as well. I know we'll get Broad and Anderson back in Adelaide for the pink ball test, but there's going to be plenty of scar tissue for these English bowlers heading into the remainder of the series. And it remains to be seen what happens after he cools down and has a night's sleep, Ben Stokes, with regards to his knee injury. It could be okay today. It could have just been a little twinge. I think it's a little bit more than that, or it could be a little bit worse, which would be a major, major blow for England. John Lewis is their bowling coach. They didn't say much, the English, last night. The players didn't. There was no player for the press conference. They couldn't walk that far, I wouldn't have thought, to get to the press conference. But John Lewis, the bowling coach, he spoke, and he had this short grab about Ben Stokes' injury.
He didn't bowl full pace at the back end of the day. I think our medical guys will just assess him overnight and see how he is.
That's it. I mean, I could have told you that, really. I mean, that was axiomatic, wasn't it? But anyway, so they're going to assess him overnight and see how it is. Will he be on the field? He'll have to be on the field to make sure he can bat up the top of the order. And that's another reason why you've just got to keep them out there as long as possible, I think. Build that lead as much as you can. It's not like it's heading into day four or even, late on day three. Even if you bat to lunch, you've still got 2 days and two sessions to bowl England out, and for Australia not to have to bat again. I think that has to be the key for the Aussies. that they don't have to bat again. Win the first test by an innings will be a terrific way to start the series. But England, John Lewis says they haven't given up, and he's says that there's plenty of spirit in the English camp.
There's a lot of character and fight in our dressing room. I don't know, they've been in some pretty sticky situations before, and they've come through all right.
Yep, and it's a long way to come back, though, from 7 for 343, England 147. There was an Australia AV England Lions match, too, played at Ian Healy Oval. Good to see we get some cricket on Ian Healy Oval as well. At stumps on day one, Australia A made 213. Usman, unfortunately, didn't get amongst the runs. While Travis Head was making a century at the Gabba, Usman Khawaja made 11 at Ian Healy Oval. And the Lions at stumps on day one of that four-day match, 3 for 13. So Australia A 213, the English Lions 3 for 13, and Usman made 11. Another little bit of cricket news from yesterday. Nick Hockley was speaking on SEN about the criticism that Cricket Australia has got from the West Australian government, which I just think is remarkable, about the cancellation of the fifth test in Perth. The West Australian sports minister, I think, had a crack at Cricket Australia about their handling of the situation, which has fired Nick Hockley up. He responded to that criticism, but he also told us what sort of test we would have for test number five. Not where we will be playing it, but what sort of test we are going to have. Here is what Nick Hockley had to say yesterday.
I think that's entirely unfair. I think we've worked really constructively with governments right around the country all throughout the last 18 months, including the Western Australian government. So that's certainly not reflective of the conversations and the spirit of the conversations that I've been having with counterparts over in Western Australia. And, you know, everyone's been extremely, extremely constructive. And, you know, in the end, I mean, delivering a test match, it's a massive endeavour, massive logistical endeavour, a major event, 5 days, a huge number of production personnel. And in the end, it became pretty clear in the last 10 days that it was just logistically not feasible. When we had to come to choose and to look to move the fifth test, that was a prerequisite with our broadcast partners that we maintain that evening time slot on the East Coast. So, yes, the plan is for wherever it's played, it will be a day-night test pink ball.
So there you go. Test number five will definitely be a day-night test. It'll be a pink ball test. It still remains to be decided where that day-night test can be held. All grounds are capable of holding a day-night test with their lighting. Tasmania, you know, the word is that, you know, that they are the favourites at the moment, that they're in front. But I reckon that Cricket Australia are just waiting until after the second test to see whether, you know, Australia lead 2-0 or it's 1-0 or 1-1. And if there's the potential for the fifth test to be a series decider, then that will change the mindset, I would have thought, for Cricket Australia. If it's still to be decided, Melbourne, with 80,000 every day, would be my choice. I think, as I heard, I think Shane Warne was saying the other day, that Melbourne, the Victorians, who have been locked down longer in Melbourne than any other city in the world, have earned the right to have something to celebrate in January, along with the tennis and the Boxing Day Test match. And the financial blow that Cricket Australia has taken will certainly be lessened or eased a little bit if they can have a day-night test at the MCG. But then it would be nice to have a test match in five different cities as well. And Tasmania, they wouldn't need the lights as much because it stays pretty bright down there for a long time. You could start the test match and only maybe have the last hour of play with the lights needed. But, yeah, that decision is still to be made by Cricket Australia. Last night at the Adelaide Oval, the Strikers won their first match by 49 runs against the Renegades. And just before we take a break, interesting news coming out of India that Virat Kohli has been axed as their one-day captain. He was sacked or stood down after the T20 World Cup, their poor performance there. He would not resign as one-day captain. So the Indian Cricket Board has decided to do that for him. Didn't tell him, just put out a tweet saying the new captain is Rohit Sharma for the tour of South Africa for the one-day and T20 team. So Virat Kohli found out that he had been axed as one-day captain after the Indian Cricket Board of Control put out a tweet saying that our new captain will be Rohit Sharma. Now, as much as you know, Virat Kohli would have been stubborn and all that sort of stuff. I still think it's a pretty poor way to tell someone that they're not captain of the side anymore, just to announce it by a tweet, a phone call or anything, even if it was a text message until you're saying, sorry, mate, we're going in a different direction. But to read it on a tweet, I reckon for someone who is captain your country, could have done it a little bit better way. We better take a break here on Breakfast with Pat and Heels. Mark Braybrook filling in. The Brighton Homes open line, 13 13 55 is that number, or the Love Family Lawyer text line, 0467 736 736. Coming up today, Tony Webbeck will chat a little bit of golf after 7 o'clock, highs and lows of 2021, seeing this is our last show for the year. Chris Nelson will be in. We'll chat for the last time too with Len White and Beatsy to get their look at league and rugby union. And our farewell Christmas song for today is an absolute ripper, in my mind anyway. 7 to 7.